Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's May 10th. It's 2023. We're going to talk the 9-game main slate that kicks off at 12:30 Eastern on the East Coast. it sounded bad, but yeah, we're going to talk some day baseball. We all know that I love talking day baseball. I love day baseball in general. So pumped that we get really solid day baseball slate, 9 games. Hope everyone is having a fantastic Tuesday night over there on YouTube. What's up, YouTube? Joined today by my buddy Keith Eiser, pinch hitting, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Got a pretty good sweat going in the 20 max tonight. It's a Cub stack with Otani still going. So Morel's on first base. I'll take a stolen base here, and then I believe you've got a Bellinger team too, so we'll settle for the Bellinger walk-off. How's that?
Listen, Bellinger walk-off would help my main team, seeing that the pitcher just gave up a bomb to Soler. So yeah, I mean, pitching has been something now. I feel like it's been like this for like a week for me now, where I feel good going into slates, and then like I'm not hitting on pitching right now, and I trust my process enough where like I'm like a little concerned, but like on the flip side of it, I'm like, you know, I trust myself and I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. But man, it's been a rough like week and a half with pitching. Just can't seem to get anything right.
It's been more difficult this year. It feels like pitching is usually what we feel pretty good about. Like you said, we know what to analyze and things like that. But with some of the rule changes, it definitely feels like guys are giving up more hits than they used to, certainly. Maybe the pitch clock has something to do with it, but definitely the rule changes, I think, have something to do with it for sure.
All right, we're going to talk about this nice little 9-game day baseball slate. Hope everyone is having a fantastic day. Let's jump in and get started. We got Oakland at New York, 9.5 total in this one. Yankees a 250 favorite. We got Mueller and Brito facing off against each other. Any interest here in Kyle Mueller?
Can't do it against these Yankees. I think they've been better against lefties this year. Mueller has not been, he hasn't lived up to the hype. Like, pretty decent prospect here, but just doesn't look like he's quite ready. He's going into Yankee Stadium now, which is not a great place to be, especially now that they have Judge back in the lineup. So, tough spot for Mueller. I think there's a lot of cheap pitching on this slate. He won't be one I'm targeting.
Yeah, I mean, overall, Kyle Mueller hasn't been pitching great, and he has a tough matchup. I mean, that's the easiest way to put it. The Yankees have been popular in this series. They're going to be popular again today. Day baseball after a night game. Bullpen got used a bunch. We're loading up on Yankees, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, yeah, I'm not playing Mueller. 6x FIP, 12.5% Ks, 11% walks. The other side of this game, we got Brito. I mean, like, people love playing pitchers against Oakland, and I am one of those people. I play just about any pitcher against this team. I don't know if Johnny Brito is the guy that I'm, like, super excited to play. After seeing, like, Schmidt's ownership, too, on Tuesday night, like, I mean, I feel like people are just going to blindly play this guy. I don't know how I feel overall about it, but on the flip side, Oakland's not great.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested here. He's 5,700 and facing Oakland, like you mentioned. I am concerned about the ownership here. I did not expect to be Schmidt to come in at 30%+ owned like he did on Tuesday night. It's a similar spot. Like, Burrito's been decent at times this season. Obviously, he's gotten blown up against Minnesota a couple times. He had Tampa Bay his last time out, but he's put up some quality outings here. It's Oakland. I think he's going to be a little bit popular, which is my only hesitation. If he's lower owned, like 15% or lower, I'm interested here just because it's Oakland.
He's cheap. I mean, yeah, I mean, he's not a huge strikeout guy. He pitches well, well enough against lefties. They're going to have enough lefties in this lineup, but I think overall, he's just cheap and he's getting Oakland.
Just got a morale stolen base. Let's go.
You're like talking about sorry, you wish I'm, that I'm one in. No, you wish that one into existence. That's fine. That's hilarious. But Oakland bats, anything standing out to you here for Oakland?
They're certainly playable. We just talked about how bad they were, but there are some decent hitters in this lineup. They're better against lefties, is the only thing. Rooker, I'm gonna keep playing that guy. Esteri Ruiz. Has a ton of stolen base potential. I will say that if Brito is popular on this slate, then I will definitely have some Oakland exposure. Nota is in a good spot. Brito is a little bit reverse splitsy because he's got that changeup, but Nota's a big power lefty. You've got the short porch in Yankee Stadium, so I don't mind some Nota shares as well.
It'd be like a three-man for me. Nota, Roker, and Blade. Like, Blade just, he keeps hitting.
Good call.
I like that three-man. We know that Blade has some power upside, and, you know, you mentioned lefties in this ballpark. So that little three-man and like, likely to hit, like, 2-3-4. So the only problem, like, with that three-man is, like, you're using a first base spot and two outfield spots, which, I mean, could be worse, I guess. But, I mean, overall, I mean, it's a really cheap three-man, so... if you're building something that you like and you end up where you need those, like that salary, it's not bad. Yankees on the other side of this game. This guy is a guy I want to pick on, and Torres just keeps smashing the baseball. I think he's going to be favorite again today. I think really anybody that cracks the lineup is going to be a favorite today. Full on Yankee stacks for me. I think they're one of the top, if not the top stack on the slate today.
Yeah, I am in complete agreement. They've done really well the last 2 days. It's another fantastic spot against them. Been a little bit better against lefties here. They've got Judge back in the lineup. Torres's price is climbing, but don't care. One of my favorite hitters on the entire slate. Judge up at 6,300. He's playable in any spot. Obviously, this is a great spot for him here with that terrible Oakland bullpen behind Mueller as well. Harrison Bader has like been smashing since he's become a Yankee. Gets a lefty in this spot. He's 3,800. Love Bader. LeMahieu, not a guy I generally like to play, but he does hit lefties better. It was a better spot for him on Monday against a fly ball pitcher. Mueller is better at keeping the ball on the ground. So I like LeMahieu better on Monday, but I do still like him fine in this spot. I believe Trevino caught on Tuesday night, so we probably get Higashioka in there. He's 2,500. Absolutely love that. Cabrera is down at 2,400 if they can find a spot for him in the lineup. So you've got the elite bats up top, and then you've got some salary savers to go with it too. Just too easy to fit Yankees here.
Yeah, too easy to fit Yankees.
And it's a great spot.
Again, a great spot. And I don't even mind like a little like five-man Yankee stack with like a three-man Oakland stack if Brito gets some ownership and you want to make your Yankees stacks different. Because, I mean, if you're leaving Rizzo out and you're only playing one of the Yankees outfielders, like your Yankee stack is going to be different. All right, so we got Colorado at Pittsburgh, 8.5 total in this game. The Pirates are 148 favorite. Sensatella against Hill. Any interest here in Sensatella going up against Pittsburgh?
Not for me. Just no strikeout upside. Good ballpark to pitch in, but I don't think you need to do it. Like we just talked about Brito. I'd much rather play Brito.
Sensatella is going to go out and he's going to generate a ton of ground balls. He's not going to generate a ton of strikeouts. He's just going to go out and have a quality start. I don't think he's a guy that is going to get blown up when he's not in cores. I don't think the Pirates are really a team that's going to blow up many pitchers, even though they have been better this year, for what it's worth. I don't think I play Sensatella today. I think pitching in general today is just kind of weak overall, but if I'm in this range, I'm probably going Battenfield. Just so much cheaper, or not even cheaper. It's just upside. Getting Detroit. I mean, like, yeah. Think about who he's facing. Rich Hill on the other side of this game, 7,300. We know that Rich Hill is capable of 20 plus fantasy point games. He's 7,300. I mean, I don't think it's the craziest thing to take Rich Hill, depending on the Rockies lineup, because they roll out a lineup from time to time. Like, the bottom half is just really bad. So if he could get around, I mean, Grichik, Bryant, Crone is the guys he really has to get around at the top of this order. What are your thoughts on Rich Hill?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's playable in this spot. I would have more interest if we didn't have some even cheaper pitchers on this slate. You just talked about Battenfield. I'm not sure how much I need him, but I don't mind the spot for him against Colorado. They are better against lefties, but like Hill's got that curveball that still works for him. He can get strikeouts. Colorado strikes out a lot more on the road. Good ballpark to pitch in. So I'm interested in Hill. I'm definitely going to play the ownership game with these guys like under 7,500 because I think there are multiple pitchers that are in play for a cheap price today.
Rockies bats. I mean, it's the three guys I just said. If they get to Rich Hill, I think it's going to be Grichik, Bryant, or Crone. I don't know if this is a spot I stacked, especially in this ballpark. Bryant would be my favorite. He's hitting the ball up in the air a ton this season. I think he's at like 54% against left-handed pitching, and he has a 54% hard hit rate. So Chris Bryant healthy, we know how good he is. We know how good he is against lefties. So I think like Chris Bryant would be my favorite of the Colorado bats. Any interest in the Rockies here?
I love the Chris Bryant call. Probably not a stack for me just because of the ballpark shift. Going into Pittsburgh from Colorado is as big as it gets in baseball pretty much. Not a stack for me, but I don't mind trying to find a home run here. Bryant, Grichik, like you said, Crone. Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Pittsburgh. I mean, Sensatella is a guy like he does, tend to generate more ground balls overall. I like fly ball hitters. I mean, the only one that I could sit here and say maybe is Swinczynski. He is a fly ball guy. I mean, you can always take Reynolds. His price has got up there, but I mean, this is a ground ball pitcher that does tend to give up a lot of hard contact. So, like, any of these fly ball guys, I think you could take shots on. But, again, not really a spot overall I want to stack. And just not a great ballpark.
Yeah, that's my reasoning for it too. I think there are plenty of good spots to attack on this slate. Senzatella might be the worst pitcher on the slate, or one of them at least. But Pittsburgh's pricing is like, they're all 4K and above pretty much. Sawinski, the one guy at 3,900, Castro at 3,800. Bay has some stolen base upside. I don't think I want to stack against Senzatella. He keeps the ball on the ground a lot. The control is decent. So probably not a stack for me just because of the ballpark.
We got Detroit at Cleveland. 7.5 total in this game. The Guardians, 130 favorite. We got Rodriguez going up against Battenfield. Eduardo coming off of a extremely good start against the Mets. He's 9,100 here. This is twice this year that he's had like these ceiling games, and one of those games was against Cleveland. Cleveland, a team like for years we really haven't taken pitchers against. What are our thoughts here looking at this Cleveland lineup?
I mean, it's tough. Eduardo's been really good this season. You mentioned that 10 strikeout game he had back a couple of starts ago here against this Cleveland team. He just had 9 strikeouts against the Mets, who don't strike out very much either. So he clearly has his good stuff back. I don't know that I'm paying 9,100 for him in this spot. I don't expect the 10 strikeouts to show up again. There's definitely plenty of upside above him in the salary range. I think there's even a couple of guys right below him that have some upside today. I don't think I get to Eduardo Rodriguez much. He's been awesome this year, but I still believe that Cleveland's not a high strikeout team, and that his last start against them was more of an outlier than to be expected again.
The lineup's just not good. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's what makes him somewhat intriguing here. Just because the lineup's not good, I think this is a potentially low scoring game. Kershaw is like my top guy today, and we'll talk about him. Milwaukee's the worst team in baseball against left-handed pitching. Kershaw, like, I'm not even thinking twice about it. He's my guy today. With that said, Wheeler and Gausman, tough matchups with those respected offenses. Castillo, we've seen how tough Texas is against right-handed pitching this season. Castillo hasn't been great recently. So I think, like, just kind of looking at the slate in my head and going over it overall, I think I have a little interest in him. It also depends on, like, what type of ownership we're looking at on, like, a Merrill Kelly going up against Miami. So it's more of just kind of thinking, is he going to be low-owned? I think he's okay. And then cheap pitcher-wise, I think Battenfield's okay. We know just how bad this Detroit team is in general. And, I mean, we've seen a little bit this year. We've seen a 21% K rate. His biggest issue is walks. Well, I mean, you don't really have to worry about that when you're facing the Tigers. So I think Battenfield at 6,100 is just cheap enough where if we do start seeing a lot of ownership on Brito, Battenfield might be that pivot.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be really interested to see the ownership on those two guys. I think Battenfield's more popular, just first thought. That might be completely wrong. Obviously, people just saw what Clark Schmidt did to Oakland, and maybe they go back to that. I kind of hope they do, because I like Battenfield a little bit better than I do Brito. He's been solid this season, like you mentioned. Control hasn't been great, but the strikeouts have been a little bit better than expected. Love the matchup here against Detroit. Love the price tag. Yeah, absolutely in play.
Detroit bats. This is one of the reasons, right? Like, this team just no legit power.
Yeah. It does help getting out of their home park going into Cleveland. But still, I don't think it's a spot that I want to target him. If you want to try to find a home run, I'm fine with that. Baez. I mean, there's just not even some names to throw out there from a power perspective, which is why I'm so interested in Battenfield.
Cleveland bats, I mean, they have really kind of struggled. I mean, you look at it and they're a bottom five WRC plus team. They're a bottom two home run team against left-handed pitching this season. Like, I don't know, like, if Cleveland's a team I really want to play a lot of hitters from. I mean, you can always play Jose Ramirez, don't get me wrong, but he is much better from the left side of the plate than he is against, from the right side of the plate. 229 WOBA this year against left-handed pitching for Ramirez. Like, I mean, the one guy that's shown a little bit of upside has been Bell. Maybe Josh Bell just needs to hit righty all the time.
That, and that's kind of been the opposite in his career, if I know. Recall. Like, yep, yeah,
he has.
Like
he's been usually much been... better from the left side.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not excited to play any Cleveland bats against E-Rod. I don't like Ramirez is a 5,900 and better from the other side of the plate. Jimenez is lefty lefty. Kwan's lefty lefty. Like, yeah, not a great spot. Zunino as a catcher that can hit a home run. I'm on board with that if you want to try that. But I don't think I'm stacking Cleveland here.
Yeah, I'm not stacking Cleveland. I think Rodriguez has showed us enough this year to say, you know, this guy has only allowed more than one earned run in his first two starts. His last five, he hasn't allowed more than one earned run. So maybe E-Rod's getting right. And we know that, like, when he's pitching well, he is a above average pitcher. So good for him. I hope he can stay healthy. Dodgers and Brewers in Milwaukee, 8 total. The Dodgers are 165 favorite here. Don't think that's enough. Kershaw against Miley. I mean, I already kind of said it, Keith. Like, Clayton Kershaw gets to face the highest strikeout team in baseball against left-handed pitching, the lowest WRC+, the lowest ISO, the Lotus WOBA. I can keep going. Yeah, I mean, overall, this is a team that has really struggled with left-handed pitching. He's coming off of a tough matchup against San Diego. This is a get-right spot for Clayton Kershaw. He's gone over 100 pitches a couple times this year, but I think it's more of innings. I really don't think we see Kershaw in the eighth inning unless he's throwing like a no-no or something against anybody, because I think it's just going to be let's limit his innings instead of his pitches this year. And, I mean, listen, this team's so bad that even in seven innings, I think Kershaw is the top pitcher today.
Yeah, I'm with you on Kershaw being the top target today. And I wanted to speak on the leash a little bit too. Like, it's been nice to see him up above 100 a couple of times, consistently into the 90s. Seems like they're letting him go a little bit longer this year. And maybe it is an innings thing, but even if he's capped at seven innings, which he's done a couple of times, I will gladly take seven innings against this Milwaukee lineup, who has just been atrocious against lefties. Kershaw struggled his last time out, was really good the two times before that. So just a hiccup against a good San Diego offense. I'm not going to hold that against him. I think there's still plenty in the tank here for Kershaw. Love this spot for him.
Yeah, I think he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. One of the best pitchers in baseball for over a decade. Just really good at what he does. So, yep. Miley, I like the Dodgers a lot more against right-handed pitching. They have struggled against left-handed pitching this season. They have pretty high strikeout rates. You know, we've seen it from time to time this year. This team has struggled. They got to Eric Lauer. I think they're getting healthier. They're getting some of these righties back in the lineup. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Will Smith, Betts, Taylor, Thompson. I think there's enough righties in here where I don't play Wade Miley. His low strikeout rate is concerning against this team.
Yeah, there's no chance I'm playing Miley.
Yeah, I just don't see the need for it today.
Yeah, like especially not with Battenfield 700 cheaper. If you want to do Burrito, cheaper than that. So don't think we need it. And Rich Hill, just a couple hundred more than him, too.
All right, for everybody that played FOT, back in the positive. We're at 3.4. We're getting there. Looking at some bats here for the Dodgers, I mean, it's the same guys. It's Betts. He has a high fly ball rate against left-handed pitching. It's Smith. It's Taylor. Vargas hit six. I would assume we get the same type of lineup, if not the same lineup, on Wednesday that we had on Tuesday. So Thompson, Vargas, Taylor, Smith, Betts. Probably a secondary stack for me, but I still think like this is a playable secondary stack.
Yeah, I don't mind the full stack either. Like, Miley does a good job of keeping the ball on the ground, but the Dodgers have so many fly ball hitters. It's a nice home run park here in Milwaukee for them. Betts and Will Smith, certainly the top two targets, massive fly ball hitters tons of pop. So love both of those guys. Taylor can fill shortstop for you at a cheap price. And then their platoon bats. Vargas hit a home run on Tuesday night. He fills second base for 2,500. Trace Thompson is probably in the lineup again at 2,300. You can certainly make the full stack work too, I think, if you want. But yeah, definitely Betts and Smith up top are the keys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Milwaukee bats, I want nothing to do with the Brewers bats against Kershaw today.
I am right there with you.
Doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. Move on. Texas at Seattle. No total in this game. It sounds like it's going to be Dunning. And we know Castillo's pitching for Seattle. Any interest here in Dane Dunning?
Another cheap guy that I think is in play. Doesn't have the longest leash, so I definitely prefer the other guys we've already talked about to him. But he's been pretty solid this year. He did make a start against the Angels and was very good. Five innings, but only threw 72 pitches. So I'm concerned about the upside here. If Brito and Battenfield are both catching ownership and you're still looking for a pivot, maybe he enters the conversation then. But like I said, all kinds of options on the cheap today, so I don't think we need him here.
I will say he was working as a long reliever, and then he moved into the starting lineup or starting rotation. Sorry, it's not starting lineup, but starting rotation when DeGrom got hurt. So he's kind of filling in for DeGrom. I wouldn't be shocked if he gets like 85 pitches here. But I think leash is definitely the concern. I mean, the lineup's the concern too. This is a really solid team overall. There are strikeouts in the Seattle lineup. Dunning hasn't shown a ton of strikeout ability this year, but for a guy that's typically used to starting going to the bullpen, I mean, it's not the easiest transition for every pitcher. I mean, every pitcher is different. So I don't think I get to him today. I think that I'm playing Battenfield before I play Dunning, even if there is a little bit more ownership. Castillo, I mean, talent-wise, Castillo is one of the most talented pitchers on the slate. Texas continues to kind of do their thing against right-handed pitching, top five WRC plus team. Castillo has been struggling here recently. I mean, the matchups weren't the greatest, but I mean, this isn't the greatest matchup either. Luis Castillo, 10-1, any interest in him?
Texas has been really good. And I'm kind of starting to buy into it. Like there's a lot of talent in that lineup. If he was in better form, I would say, I don't really care about the matchup. And I would have a lot of interest here, but he hasn't been. And I know the matchups haven't been great. He's had Houston and Toronto his last two times out. The leash is outstanding. So if he's on, he certainly could put up a ceiling game here. I think he's going to be low owned. I think most people are going to Kershaw. Gausman is above him. That has some appeal, at least. Tough matchup. If he's really low owned, I might take a couple of shots, but it's really just an ownership game type of thing. I definitely prefer Kershaw and Gausman in the top range ahead of him.
I just don't think I get to him today, so he probably throws a complete game shutout. So yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome. Texas bats, any interest in Texas here?
No, even if Castillo's not right, I'm not real interested in picking on them. Texas is pretty expensive. Like Simeon and Garcia, probably the two you want. They're both over 5,500. Don't mind the Nate Lowe price at 4,400. It's definitely not a stack for me against Castillo. So if you're trying to find a home run, that's fine. There's not a ton of cheap options that I love, and not a stack for me.
I mean, not a team that I want to play, I think, today. They're not a bad team here. It's not the worst spot in the world. It's just like Castillo has been really good against righties, and like there's enough righties in this lineup where I don't know if I really want to stack them. I said maybe Castillo is close to being playable depending on ownership, but his struggles recently bother me a little bit. The Seattle bats against Dunning. I mean, like I said, Dunning hasn't shown like a huge ceiling this year. But I mean, outside of Klenik, Rodriguez he's kind of been struggling to start the year. Like, this is a guy that I think a lot of people were high on coming into the year, and he just really hasn't shown much.
Yeah, I mean, Dunning's been solid, so I don't know if I'm on board with a Seattle stack here. Pricing is tempting. Like, Suarez and Teoscar are both cheap. Definitely prefer them against lefties. I think you just keep playing Julio until he figures it out. He's one of the most talented guys in the entire league. I just don't know that this is a spot that I want to stack Seattle. So and Raleigh's price is up now too. France has been struggling a little bit. Seems to be coming around here recently, but just not a ton of power there. More of a contact guy. So I don't love the Seattle stack here. I'm kind of buying into what Dunning's doing a little bit here. So I think I'll stay away from Seattle.
All right. We got Miami at Arizona, and FanDuel just released their slates. They got a wacky slates going on today. So I'm sorry. I just assumed that like the sites have been kind of following each other and we would get pretty similar slates, but not today. Miami at Arizona, 8.5 total in this game. The Diamondbacks are 165 favorite. We got Cabrera and Kelly facing off against each other. Any interest here in Edward Cabrera?
I do have a little interest here. The strikeouts have been coming around. He faces Cubs twice, so like there's plenty of strikeouts in that Cubs lineup. But he had 8 and 12 in back-to-back starts against them. He's been over 6 in each of his last 4. This is a guy with big time stuff, and I'm not terrified of this Arizona offense. I think there's some talent there, don't get me wrong, but I think Cabrera has some upside in this spot. If the roof is open, I probably don't take any shots on him, but I do think you can look for some strikeouts here at a pretty decent price.
I think he's okay. The roof is expected to be closed, by the way. We talked about it yesterday. I mean, that's what it said on the website yesterday. So Kelly on the other side, I mean, he's 8,300. He has a little bit of upside. He's shown a little bit of strikeout upside this year. Gets a great matchup against Miami. I mean, this is one of those spots where I'm going right back to the well against Miami. Had one bad pitch, really. Soler smashed it. It did not work out. Outside of that, he's been pitching pretty well. I expect Kelly to go out in here and have a solid outing.
Yeah, I mean, upside for the price, I think it's there. Kelly's strikeouts have been solid this season. He had 10 his last time out against Washington, who's the lowest strikeout team in baseball. Great matchup here against Miami. 8,300, he's a guy that's going to go 95 pitches or thereabouts, 90 to 95 more than likely. He's been getting through the 6th inning regularly, so I like the leash, like the matchup. I think he's in play for sure.
Bats, anything standing out to you here for Miami?
Nothing really for Miami. I mean, we talked about it a little. It's part of the reason we loved Fott yesterday is they basically only have 2 power bats in Jazz and Soler. It's tough. Like, Kelly is a pitcher who can give up some hits, but there's not enough talent on this offense. It's why I want to play a little bit of Kelly. If you want to try to find a home run, I'm fine with that. I think Jazz is the top option there for sure. maybe a cheap one. You look at somebody like Jesus Sanchez, but just not a great Miami offense here. I'm probably not stacking it.
I mean, it would be Solaire for me. Kelly generates enough ground balls that I want a fly ball hitter, and he's really the only fly ball hitter that has any kind of power. So Solaire one off, Jazz one off, like his speed upside is always there. I know like he got a single in the first and stole second, then had a single drive him in against Fott on Tuesday. As far as the Arizona bats go, I mean, you know, the upside with the like stolen base upside overall for this team, Cabrera has a 30% K rate. Where he does struggle, he kind of has a little bit of reverse splits. I don't know what to think here with Cabrera and like how I want to attack him, if I want to attack him. What are your thoughts on the Arizona bats?
The pricing is tough on them. Corbin Carroll's up at 5,800, Kettle Marte at 5,600, Rojas at 4,900, Christian Walker at 4,700. Like, it's not a cheap stack. And I think Cabrera is a pretty decent pitcher. He seems to be figuring some things out here. I don't think it's a stack for me. He can certainly give up some fly balls and some home runs. So if you want to hunt that, I'm totally okay there. I think Walker is probably my preferred option there. I wish Carroll was cheaper. I would definitely take some shots there. But I just don't love the pricing on these Arizona bats.
Yeah, I mean, so I will say, like, Gurriel, righty-righty, he's been much better against righties this year than lefties, and this is kind of, we saw that a little bit for him in Toronto as well. So if you wanted to take a shot on him, I don't hate it. All right, we got Washington at San Francisco, Gray against Manaea. 9 total in this game. Manaea 165 favorites. Any interest here in Josiah Gray?
Yeah, this is the other cheap guy I have some interest in. Josiah Gray was a big-time prospect when he got traded over from the Dodgers, and it looks like things are starting to click for him. He's had at least 6 strikeouts in each of his last 3. He is doing a better job of keeping the ball on the ground and a better job of keeping the ball in the park. I'm not scared of this San Francisco lineup. It's a good ballpark for pitching. San Francisco has struck out a ton. They're still leading the league in K's as a team overall. They're going to platoon. There's going to be some lefties in here, but with some of the changes that Josiah Gray has made, there's strikeout upside here. And I think he keeps the ball in the park, especially in the pitcher's park.
So what I'll say about Josiah Gray is I could see playing either side of this game. The Giants have a lot of power lefties. They have a lot of power in this lineup overall that hit right-handed pitching really well. And then the flip side of it is what you were talking about. There's a lot of strikeouts in this Giants lineup. Josiah Gray has looked better this year. His advanced metrics still kind of say there's some regression to his numbers, which we saw a little bit last time out against Arizona. I'm not fully on the Josiah train. I'm not fully against Josiah. Like you mentioned, uber talented prospect, finally seems to be clicking a little bit. The Giants are just really good. You're getting a day game in San Francisco, could help potentially with that ball travel. I think you could play either side. We'll talk about the Giants bats in a minute, but I have some interest in the Giants bats.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house, everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Sean Manaea on the other side, he's cheap. He's 5,900. He can't get right-handed hitters out this year, man. 41% fly balls, 51% hard contact, 413 WOBA, 338 ISO, only a 23% K rate. Like, Washington is really bad against right-handed pitching, but they're a top 15 team. They don't strike out a lot against left-handed pitching. I think I put Manaea on the shelf today.
Yeah, I have no interest here. He's just not the same pitcher he was 2 years ago, back, or whenever he was in Oakland. Has struggled mightily since leaving there. He was decent against Milwaukee, but you ran down Milwaukee's stats against lefties. That was a dream matchup for him. I like the way Washington sets up here. I have some interest in the Washington Bats.
Let's talk about Bats. I don't know like how good I feel about looking at some of these Bats, but I like the matchup, right? Like Thomas is someone, if he hits leadoff, I have interest in him. Call, I would assume he hits towards the top of the lineup. He is 2,500, I think. Yeah, he's cheap. So I don't mind looking at like the cheaper bats here in this lineup.
Yeah, I love them as a three-man stack. That's really cheap. They're all 3,300 or less. So you can play three of them and save a bunch of salary. I'm not sure how often you need to do that. We've talked about several cheap pitchers that we liked, but if you're paying up for pitching, getting a couple Washington bats in there is something I love to do. There's several of them that I don't mind. Logan Thomas would be my favorite. Manessas has got power, especially against lefties. Alex Call at 2,500. Stone Garrett at 3,100. Ruiz fills a catcher position for you. If I had to rank them, I'd probably go Thomas, Manessas, Call. But I think there's a bunch of these bats that are playable. I might even talk myself into a full stack. I just, like, if I'm going up for expensive pitching twice, like if I'm doing Kershaw, Gaussman or something, maybe I end up with a full Washington stack in if I'm playing a bunch of lineups. But I really like the three-man.
Kind of goes back to that like Oakland conversation we were having. Like the problem with like Washington is like all the guys you want to play are outfielders. Manessas, you mentioned Manessas, Ruiz, he's cheap at catcher, but like Garrett, Thomas, Call, the three cheap outfielders are just all outfielders. So, yeah. I mean, you might get into trouble like roster construction wise trying to full stack them. That's all I was getting at. I like them as a secondary stack as well. I like the Giants today, and I respect what Josiah Gray has been doing this year. You just look at this lineup, man. Like Jock Peterson, big power. Wade, very good at getting on base. JD Davis is crushing right-handed pitching this season. I don't know. I don't think I full stack this team either. I think like both of these teams are like potential like secondary stacks for me, but I think the Giants are in play on teams that you're not taking shots on Gray.
Yeah, I definitely don't mind them here. It would be a secondary stack for me as well. We've talked about this already this week, but the Washington bullpen does not have lefties in it. So now that
home run. He threw him threw him a slider right down the middle on a 2-2 count, and he smoked it. Back to negative, everybody that played pot. We got there for a minute. We got there for a minute. I know that helps your sweat. That's why I told you.
Up to eighth with Ohtani still going. So Got a shot.
Any Ohtani ahead of you? That's the big question.
Good question.
I'm going to look while you continue to give your thoughts.
Okay. San Francisco bats. I think you're looking for home runs here is the big thing. I love Jock Peterson. JD Davis, like you mentioned, has just inexplicably been crushing the ball here recently. Good for him for turning it around. Don't mind Haniger. Wade, I only want if I'm doing a three-man. If I'm looking for one-offs, I'm probably not interested in Wade. Been a rough go for Conforto, but there's hopefully he figures it out. Rooting for him after he dealt with that big injury that cost him last year. So there's still some power there for Conforto. It's more of a three-man stack or power one-offs for me here.
No Ohtani ahead of you.
Oh, baby. Let's go.
There's Giolito and Kirby ahead of you, and Kirby's pitching really good right now. So there you go. You're hunting. Live. I think you would need like another 10 from Soler to fully get there. But yeah, I mean, you're in the running. You're a solid team, Keith. Like everybody on your team is like 1% owned. I know that wasn't by design, but. All right, Toronto at Philadelphia. Listen, we've had some big sweats before on the podcast. Cheese one night was like sweating 100K and didn't say a word about it and lost 50 grand on a 11th inning home run. So we've had big sweats on the podcast before. I think Christy was sweating a live final on the podcast one time. But anyway, getting sidetracked. Toronto at Philadelphia, 8.5 total. Philadelphia 120 favorite. Wheeler and Gausman. My first thought, before we get into any analysis about this game, my first thought was I was really shocked to see this game at 8.5. It seems like this is a legit 6.5 game. And is it just because Gausman got absolutely shellacked last time out against Boston, maybe? I don't know. I thought the line was really interesting. I know Wheeler has been either really good or really bad. But, yeah, I mean, let's talk about it. Gausman against Philadelphia, any interest in him here?
I do have interest. I think for just talking about the line a little bit, it's the ballpark, and both pitchers have struggled a little bit recently. Like, these are two of the best pitchers in baseball. I mean, they're not like top guys, but they're in that conversation. I'd put them both in the top 15 probably without like truly thinking about it. But two legitimate aces here. Gausman, before he got blown up by Boston, was on an absolute tear. Had 11 or more strikeouts in 3 of his 4 starts prior to this. So I'm like, we've talked about how Boston is such a contact heavy offense multiple times already this year. I'm not concerned about that start. I'm just going to chalk it up as he had a bad day and he's still a really talented pitcher. It is a very risky spot because of the ballpark. He's very expensive. Philly is getting healthier now that they have Bryce Harper back, obviously even more risk here. But Gausman still has strikeout stuff, and he strikes out just as many lefties as he does righties. So Schwarber and Harper, and Schwarber did leave Tuesday night as well. I don't remember what that injury was and if it's a day-to-day thing or if he's injured list bound or what. That's worth noting. But I'm interested in the strikeout upside. He's 11-1. I'm not sure how many people are going up to him in this spot against a tough Philly offense. So if he's low owned, I love him for tournaments, even like fully knowing that he could give up a couple of home runs here just because of the ballpark. But he could also strike out 10 in this spot.
Schwarber fouled one off his foot. So we'll see if he's in the lineup.
Probably okay. Yeah.
I mean, day game after night game after leaving.
True.
We'll see. So, I mean, the lineup potentially gives him a bump here as well.
Yeah. Like
so,
if Rio Muto's hits.
Yep.
Catcher day, game after night game.
Yeah, they DH him from time to time.
True. Yeah.
So, I mean, especially like if Schwarber doesn't play, I could definitely see Rumoto DHing. But I think Gausman is definitely serviceable, playable here. I mean, we got a guy, like you mentioned, big strikeouts, 33% on the season, 14.4% swinging strike rate, one of the highest in baseball. So anytime you see those type of numbers, you have to be interested in the pitcher. It helps if Schwarber's not in there. Wheeler on the other side. Wheeler has just been so good throughout his career against right-handed pitching. And as left-handed this team tries to get, they're a right-handed heavy offense. Varsho's good. Brandon Belt is should retire. Kiermaier is there for defense. He's not there for offense. He hits the ball on the ground. He tries to run out a single. So I think Wheeler, another guy that like you could potentially play. It's just, I don't think either one of these guys outscore Kershaw, but I also think both of these guys have lower ownership than Kershaw.
Yeah, I mean, that's really why, like, it's definitely on paper a better spot for Kershaw. You're just, like, you're playing an ownership game. I think Kershaw is clearly the chalk in the top range. I'm more interested in Gausman just because I think there's more strikeouts in the Philly lineup, and like he's just been in a little, I know he got blown up by Boston, but a little better for him than Wheeler. It's been kind of a season of struggle for Wheeler, whereas Gausman has just been one start. That doesn't mean that Wheeler can't have success in this spot. So I will take a couple tournament shots on him. Like I said, these are two of the best pitchers in baseball. So there's upside in any matchup. Tough matchup, should come with low ownership, all kinds of risk here in Philly. That's a great home run park. But I don't mind some tournament shots. It's not something I'll do a ton. Like I said, prefer Gausman, but I'll have a little bit of Wheeler.
Bats, any interest in bats in this game?
It would strictly be home run hunting for me. You could certainly play a Harper or a Schwarber. You could play a Bichette, a Vlad, Chapman. But the problem is all those guys are really expensive. maybe Varsho at 4,700. It's not something I'm doing a ton of. It's probably not something I need to do at all, honestly.
I don't end up on them today. I think there's too many good bats in these earlier games that I don't see these guys going out and scoring 10 runs. So Houston at LA taking on the Angels. We finish off here 9.5 total. Most places have this as a pick 'em. Some places have it as Houston -120. Canning and Javier. Any interest here in Christian Javier?
Yeah, another guy with big time strikeout stuff that has big upside. His strikeouts have been down a little bit this year.
Coming back recently, though.
Yeah, right. And he does strike out a lot more righties than lefties. I think the Angels are going to roll out a pretty righty heavy lineup here. Obviously, you have Ohtani to deal with, which is never fun, and he could certainly give Javier some problems. Again, because of Kershaw's spot, I think he's going to be the higher owned guy here. I'm interested in chasing some strikeouts here for Javier. Angels not a huge strikeout offense, but Javier has nasty stuff. He can put up some strikeouts against anybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those like really interesting slates where any of the guys over 9K are playable today. Castillo probably being my least favorite, but like any of these guys I think are playable today. The other side of this game, Canning is cheap at 6'4". Just really hasn't looked clean yet. Like, I don't know if it's just, you know, the delayed start to the season a little bit. But I just, for me, I think Houston's still decent enough that I don't want to play Canning.
Yeah, similar page. I think he's a good pitcher and he's going to eventually figure it out here. But because of some of the other pitchers we've talked about on the slate, it's not the right slate. On a different slate, I would have interest even in a more difficult matchup against Houston. But his leash just isn't quite what you want it to be, and the matchup just limits his upside a little bit too much for me.
Yeah. Houston bats, and he's been somewhat reverse splitsy this season. I mean, I don't know how much I really want to like trust that. I'd have to like go back and look. Because we didn't see Canning last year. It was a back, right? Like he broke his back or something. So we didn't see him last year. I'd have to go back and look at 2020 and 2021 numbers type of stuff. But I mean, Alvarez, Tucker, even if he's been a little reverse splitsy, Bregman seems to finally start to get it going a little bit. Maybe, I don't know. This guy has been slumping big time. Maybe he can get it going. Again, a team that like I probably end up, if I'm playing them, secondary stacking them, and I know I've said that a lot about these later games, but I just think the offenses in the early games are just better. And the Angels bullpen, top 10 bullpen, like, so you're getting tough arms in the bullpen as well. I don't have a ton of interest in Houston. I could see like a secondary stack, but I mean, it's such an expensive secondary stack, the guys you're going to want to play.
Yeah, it's tough to play Alvarez and Tucker together because I do think Canning's a talented pitcher. I don't have a ton of interest in the stack here. Just don't like the way it sets up. Like Pena's not cheap. I don't mind Bregman at 4,500. I agree with that call. But there's just like Abreu has been awful this season. Jolks has had some success. I don't know if he's in there today, but he's cheap. Just there's not a ton to love. Dubon, if he hits at the top of the order, I suppose could be interesting with his speed, but just, It's definitely not a full stack for me against Canning. I believe in his talent. And if I'm doing a three man, it's going to be Alvarez, Tucker, and Bregman. And that's pretty expensive.
Any interest in the Angels here?
I don't think I'm interested in picking on Javier. Extreme fly ball guy. So there's certainly, you could try to hunt a home run, but I would want to do that with lefties. Ohtani's great. Obviously there isn't a ton of lefty power outside of Ohtani. If Jake Lamb is in the lineup, you could certainly try to find a cheap home run there. But outside of that, probably not interested.
He's striking out such a high clip, too. You want him to kind of be in the lineup for Javier's sake. All right, let's play the morning grind game, and then we will get out of here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got today?
I think there's quite a few options under 8K today. I'm buying into what Josiah Gray is doing. He gets the offense that struck out more than anyone in baseball so far this season. So give me Josiah Gray.
I like it. I'm going Battenfield because he's placed in Detroit. Hashtag analysis. Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Oh, man, this is tough. Like you said, all of these pitchers up here look really good. I'm gonna say Wheeler, just thinking he might give up a home run or two here. Maybe he only ends with like six strikeouts instead of eight and just slightly stays under. I don't think he's getting blown up by any means. But just probably of the 9K guys, the last one I get to.
I'm going to go Luis Castillo. Struggling a little bit recently. Texas is a good enough team that if they're hitting him well, they can definitely get to him. So I'll go Luis Castillo. Over 4K to hit a home run today. Who's going yard?
I'm going right back to Gleyber Torres. He has done it two nights in a row. He's got another fantastic matchup against a lefty. He has been absolutely torching lefties this year.
All rise. I'm going to stay with the Yankees as well. I'm going to say Aaron Judge, who's back, hits a bomb today. I like Aaron Judge to go yard today. Under 4K to get two hits. Who's a cheap bet that you like today?
I like a lot of these Washington cheap bats. I don't think Manaea has it anymore. Just something very wrong with him. Give me Lane Thomas at 2,800.
All right. Lane Thomas. I like it. So the guy I was going to pick left the game, so I'm looking for somebody else really quick. I'll go Bader for the Yankees. I was going to pick Hicks, by the way. He left the game early. Bader just keeps hitting. I mean, this guy has been phenomenal since coming back. So give me Bader. Sack to score six or more runs today. Who do you got?
I mean, Yankees are going to be the team again. It's just another phenomenal spot for them. They've put up a ton of runs the last two nights. They're going to do it again here.
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are in a phenomenal spot. So I'm with you. I like the Yankees a lot today. Man, the more we like went through this slate, the more I was like, gosh, I really don't love stacking on this slate. Like the more that we talked about secondary stacks more on this podcast than I think we have all year. Give me Washington.
I love it.
Give me Washington. I was thinking Oakland or Washington. I like the Yankees a lot today. might just be one of those days you just eat the chalk and try to get different at pitcher and secondary stacks, because I mean the Yankees just seem like they're in the like by far, like they're up here, everybody else is down here as far as like stacks today. So
I think that's a fantastic point. Like how many pitchers do we say we have interest in? There's at least a dozen, I would say, without counting them up. But there is multiple pitching options today. I think that's as we're recording this, that's how I intend to play the slate. Just jam in chalk Yankees and get weird with pitching.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way I'm definitely looking at it as well. Keith, any I know we just kind of gave our final thoughts. Anything else before we get out of here?
I could use a couple Shohei Ohtani strikeouts if Jorge Soler wants to go ahead and make it a triple dong. I'll be all right with that.
Who did Ohtani give up the blast to?
I didn't see it.
Was it? Oh, I want to say it was like Maldonado.
Really? Oh man, that's brutal.
He was. He gave up a two-run home to Martin Maldonado. It's one of those types of slates. I mean, the odds were plus 665. So there you go.
Shout out RG Home Run app.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Bowers hit a home run today. He was my under-the-radar home run on Expert Survey today.
Nailed that.
Yeah, I had played him a bunch, but I wish I would have wrote it up and bet him to hit a home run as much as I liked him. But anyway, stuff happens. You move on. That's what we're going to do. We're going to move on to Thursday's slate. I hope everyone has a fantastic Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow talking more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.